revive us again. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning till midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do praise you. We thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your direction, your word, that we may know how to live to bring honor and glory to you. Lord, I pray that you will take your word and apply it to each individual life as you see fit and as is necessary today. Move among us freely, Lord, we pray. Convict, guide, direct, and provide every spiritual need. Most of all, Lord, we pray for the lost. I pray that today will be the day they turn to you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Wouldn't it be great if revival broke out? I'm talking about a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost Spirit-filled revival where you knew that you had been in the presence of God, where people who've been saved 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years were excited once again and fired up about who God is and what God has done for their life. I'm talking about people getting saved. I'm talking about the backslidden coming back to Christ. I'm talking about a good old-fashioned revival where we know that God is among us. Wouldn't that just be awesome? Wouldn't it be super? You know, that's what's going on here in the book of Nehemiah that we read. And we're going to cover the first 12 verses today. I didn't read all that in the interest of time. But that's what's happening here among Israel. It's a good old-fashioned revival. And you know where they started this revival? They started this revival by bringing the book. Bringing the book. They told Ezra, "Go get the book." There at this point, they are one nation in harmony, and they have one thing on their mind. You see, they finished the wall, they've sacrificed, they've worked hard, they finished the wall, but there's something about, you know, about working that just does not quite do it. Okay? As a matter of fact, you kind of get the idea that they're missing something. They're a little empty here, even though they've just completed this monumental task. And now they gather together as one nation, it says, as one people. And they say, Ezra, bring the book. One desire on their heart. And that one desire at this point being to hear from God. You see, it's been a long time since they've even had public worship. I don't know, 140, 150 years. Been way back there. There's been no public reading of the Word of God. Now their desire is to get back to the God that made them the special people that they were. They don't want to hear from Ezra. They don't want to hear from Nehemiah. They don't want to be entertained. They don't want to build a wall. They are hungry to hear from God. My friends, that's our need today. You come to church today, you didn't come, or I pray you didn't come to be entertained. Because it's not about a show. I pray you didn't come to hear a great orator in me, because, let's face it, I'm just not, okay? Anything that is done through what I say doesn't amount to anything, okay? Now, if God will use me and God speak through me and that's my prayer, that's where we'll get somewhere. I challenge you today, let's at this point of the service unify our hearts, have one desire, and that one desire being to hear from God. Not from a man, not from anybody here, but to hear from God. Lord, speak to us today. And if that's going to happen, we got to bring the book. And you know the book I'm talking about, right? We're talking about this book, the Bible, the Word of God. And that's what they did. They called for Ezra to bring that book. And Ezra brought that book. And the first thing he did, he opened that book. Now, verse 5, I want to read to you. It says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. For he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. The first thing we have to do today is, following their example, we have to open the book. We have to get into the book. Do you realize a Bible is no help if it's never opened? You can have the King James Version, the New King James, the New American Standard, the Revised American Standard. You can have whatever translation, even to the old Greek Textus Receptus. You can have all that. But beloved, if you never crack it open, it'll never do you any good. You got to get back, or we have got to get back into the Word of God. Proverbs 29 at verse 18. I love this verse because it's a reminder to me. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. In the King James, it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. If we don't hear from God, we don't have a chance, is the bottom line. And the first thing I want us to realize today is that if there is a dusty Bible in our house, in our life, that dusty Bible indicates a dry soul. If you never get into it, you'll never hear from God. See, this is literally the words of God. This is how God speaks to you. You know, do you want to hear from God? Three people do. Would you like to hear from God today? Listen, I want to tell you, we talk about talking to God, and every once in a while, God does. He lays things on our hearts and speaks to us in a special way that way. Okay? But do you realize that most of the time, when God speaks, it's out of His Word. That's how we communicate, or that's how He communicates with us. We got to get a old-time desire and get back into the book and open that book. Ezra opened the book, and you know what? The people responded. All the people stood up. How great is that? I want you to think about what that meant, first of all. When He opened that book and all could see, they stood up, they rose. And that's an act of reverence, okay? And I liken it into a soldier. You know, when you're in the military, they just do something to you, okay? They instill in you a national pride that you never get rid of. Not that I'd want to get rid of it, okay? But even today, when they play the national anthem, do you know what I do? Man, I snap to attention, hand over my heart, and I'll sing that national anthem at attention, showing respect and honor to our flag. You know, when they, I can almost tell you who's been in the military when they play the national anthem, because you see them, you know. I mean, they snap to attention because they've been instilled with that reverence. That's what's going on here. As Nehemiah opens the book, they stand up in reverence and snap to attention to honor the Word of God. Oh, that we would come back to that honor and that reverence to the Word of God. It's not just a book. It's not something written by man. This is the Word of God, and worthy of our respect and our honor and our attention. But they didn't just stop with reverence. It literally meant, for when someone would stand like this, they were presenting themselves. Now, I want you to think about that. Once again, I refer you back to military. When I was in the military, there was a way that you'd do things. If you got called into the commander's office, you would march in there, standing at attention, and you'd report. Airman Hambrick, reporting as ordered, standing at attention, waiting to receive orders. That's what they're doing here. As they stand up, and as Ezra opens that book and prepares to read, they stand up, and it's a presentation of themselves to Almighty God, saying, Lord, here we are, your soldiers standing at attention, ready to be commanded, ready to be ordered. We're submitting to you. Whatever your word says is right, is right. Whatever your word says is wrong, is wrong. Lord, instruct me, fix me, command me, give me orders. Whatever you want, that's what I want to do. That's what they're saying. Now, when's the last time when the Word of God was opened that you had that attitude? That is a terrible failure on our part. Okay? Not to snap to attention. Not to say, God, here am I. Psalms 139, I'm reminded the psalmist, search me, O God. Now imagine yourself standing at attention before your heavenly commander, your heavenly Father, and saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, listen, my friends. Therein is the attitude to see God work. That as we're approach or we approach the Word of God, that we say, here I am, Lord. Search me. Fix me. Correct me. Lead me. I'm ready. Here am I. Send me. When's the last time you looked at the Word of God with that reverence and that respect? That's what they're doing here, and it's going to lead to revival. Then it says, Ezra blessed the Lord. There in verse 6, we're gonna read, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, amen and amen, while they were lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Oh, I like this verse. I like this verse. Revival begins to break out as Ezra blessed the Lord. That word blessed is an intense, it's a word, it's a strong word. It means to literally adore. Do you realize Ezra opens the book, people stand up at attention, ready to receive what God has said, what God would say, and then Ezra begins to bless, or literally to adore the Lord God in prayer. And I want to tell you, his prayer at this point is not to heal the sick. It's not help us out of this mess, oh God. It's not I want this or I want that. It is a literal adoration of the God of the universe, the one who's responsible for the creation of all things. I mean, he is adoring. I mean, this is, he's pouring out his heart in adoration and devotion to the wonderful God that he serves. And you know what else happened? The people responded. Now I want you to notice, I repeated myself on purpose here. B, Ezra opened the book. The people responded. Ezra blessed the Lord. The people responded. And the reason I'm emphasizing that is because we're losing that art today. That art of response. In the text it said that the people answered as he blessed the Lord. They answered. Literally, they participated, and you know what they said? They said, amen and amen, while lifting up their hands. Does it really say they lifted their hands? That's not Baptist. It really does. You want to go back and check? Amen and amen, while lifting up their hands. Man. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Revival's breaking out there. They're honoring the Word of God. They're reverencing the Word of God. And Ezra begins to bless God. And the people stand just like this and say, amen and amen. Do you remember those old-time revivals where people used to say, amen? Do you remember those old-time revivals where every once in a while you'd hear a hallelujah? Do you remember those old-time revivals when people didn't mind coming down and getting on their knees at the altar in front of everybody else? They didn't care whether you saw them or not. Do you remember those days? What happened? We've forgotten how to respond to the Word of God. Oh, let us get back. Let us get back to opening the Word and responding to the Word. Let us leave as Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, I fear that I myself have been there on numerous occasions. These people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. I dare challenge you today. Don't let business as usual be good enough anymore. When there is a God that wants to do business with you. And you can have company and interaction with the God of the universe. That's His desire. As we get back into the book, bringing that book, opening that book, and then we're going to listen to that book. That's what they did. If you'll notice in verse 3, it says the people were attentive. And this was a big deal. Literally, if you did a literal translation there in verse 3, instead of saying attentive, it would say the people turned their ear. Can you turn your ear? Yes, you can. You might not be able to wiggle it, but you can turn it. You can turn it to what you want to hear. You see? That's what they did. They turned their hearing toward Ezra and toward the Word of God. And you know, this is a big deal. Because Ezra began to read and began to explain the Word of God. And he did it from morning until noonday. And that doesn't sound like too long until you translate the word morning there. And you find out that in the Hebrew, that literally means first light in the morning. So what they were doing is when it was light enough to read, they began to read. And Ezra didn't quit until noon. I wonder who told him to turn out the lights when he got finished. You know? You see a hunger here. A desire to hear from God. That's why they could hear. I believe that today we live in a society of starving souls. I fear that today we live on junk food. Spiritually speaking, junk food. TV. And listen, I like to watch TV. Duck Dynasty is the best show ever, is it not? I don't know what that has to do with spiritual things. I'm sorry. Oh, but we can sit there and watch hours of TV all the while, feasting on TV junk. We can read novels and newspapers, feasting upon the affairs of the world, and never crack the Bible open during the week, while our soul is literally starving to death, and on the inside we wonder why we feel so empty. This is the reason. Because we don't bring it. We don't open it. And we don't listen to it anymore. There is nothing that can satisfy like the Word of God. I mean, Beth, she kind of encouraged us to get on a diet here a few weeks ago. And boy, I didn't know how much junk food I was living on. And Diet Cokes, oh boy, I love my Diet Cokes. Well, we've been working to cut out things like Diet Cokes and cut out things like fatty foods and potato chips and all that junk food. We've been working at it. And I'm doing pretty good. I can't say I'm 100% there yet, okay? But we're working on it. But I want to tell you what I've noticed. I've noticed in the last week or so, I've been feeling funny. I've been feeling good. I'm not used to feeling good. You know? I mean, you know, feeling better. I didn't realize I was feeling bad, but I'm feeling better. Why? Was it simply because I have the encouragement of a wonderful woman? And just to be honest with you, what she fixes, I'm going to eat, right? But it's been good for us, okay, cutting these things out. Oh, listen, my friends. Think about what you're eating. Think about what you're feasting on. I'm talking spiritually, okay? Even, you know, when we face crisis, you know the first place people will go to? They'll tend to go get those Christian self-help books. How to learn to pray. How to, you know, how to have faith. How to, listen, all that's fine and good, but those need to be a sideline. This needs to be your primary source of nutrition, spiritually. And you know what? Psalms 119, 103, you'll begin. When you spend time in the Word, you'll begin to understand what the psalmist said. How sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You'll start to understand. And, you know, and I know the word today is, well, Brother Doug, I just don't understand. I try to read the Bible and I just don't understand. And I used to buy that, okay? I even, you know, I was raised on the King James, old King James Version. And I heard that so much that a few years back, I began reading out of the New King James, which is fine, okay? But I've also discovered that you have all of God you want. Okay? You can make the excuse, I don't understand, but you have all of God you want. And I base that upon Mark chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus said, if anyone has ears, let him hear. Okay? How many of us have ears? Okay, that just pretty much includes all of us. If any man has ears, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. And he's talking about the words. Jesus has been teaching in parables. And he's instructing his disciples on understanding what he said. He said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. You know what that says? That literally says you have all of God you want. It does. With the same measure that you hear, the same measure that you listen to the Word of God, the same effort that you put in to receiving it, that's what you're going to get out of it. And if you're not willing to put forth any effort, you're not going to get anything. And not only will you not get anything, you'll lose the ability to understand that you already have. What am I saying? We need to quit being lazy and desire earnestly the Word of God. To get in there, to spend time reading, studying, meditating in the Word of God. That's where soul satisfaction will take place. That's where we will begin to change. And I challenge you. You designate time every day. Every day. Whether it's early in the morning, late at night, whatever your time is. Designate a time. An hour a day, 30 minutes a day. Oh, Brother Doug, that's a long time. No, it's really not. When you think Duck Dynasty lasts 30 minutes. You know, I mean, we waste so much time. Which we could spend in the Word of God. Start giving yourself a spiritual diet. And you're going to find that in a little while, you start to feel better. Why? Because you quit the junk food. You're not living on the junk that the world throws out there anymore. We want revival. We've got to change our diet. And when we change our diet, we open the book. We listen to the book. Desiring from the book. You know what's going to happen? We're going to be broken by the book. If we read, I think it's verse 9 in this same chapter, they're weeping after they hear from the reading of the Word. They're weeping. Why in the world are they weeping? Well, because Hebrews 4:12 tells us, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, folks, that's cutting deep. But let me tell you what the Word of God does. When you open it up, when you say, God, speak to me, change me, here I am, fix me, correct me, empower me. And then you spend time in that Word, it begins to cut. It begins to surgically expose things that shouldn't be there. It begins to reveal to you changes that should take place. And I'll tell you what, there are times when you realize those changes that need to take place that you've had for so long, and it just literally breaks your heart. Thinking, Lord, how could I have been so blind? How could I have let this go? How could I have fostered this attitude of unforgiveness? How could I have fostered this attitude of hatred? When your Word says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. I mean, when you get in there, it does. It begins to cut. And yes, you even shed a tear. But you know what? The next thing that happens is joy. A joy of understanding. Verse 12. After the people wept, they said, whoa, don't weep. This is a happy time. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and rejoice greatly. Because, why did they rejoice? Because they understood the words that were declared to them. They heard from God. And joy filled their heart. Hey, you want revival to break out today? Hear from God. Don't look to the preacher. Don't look to the singers. Look to God. What does God say? First step in revival, I believe with all my heart, is when we get back to the Word of God. Now this morning, my challenge is this. What has God's Word said to you? What have you gotten from God's Word? Right now, God's surgery time. It's invitation. And you've got to make a decision. Will you step up and will you say, Lord, search me. Try me. See if there are any wicked ways in me. Lord, correct me. And as the Lord begins to do that, are you willing to respond? Listen, if you're not willing to respond to the Lord, don't expect to get anything from the Lord. Oh, Brother Doug, what are those people going to think? Listen, you got to quit doing business with those people sitting around you and start doing business with God. Quit being horizontal and go vertical. It's not about you and the people that are watching. It's about you and God. Okay? Right now, that's what I invite you to do in this invitation. Do business with God. If you're not a child of God, if you've never made a commitment to the Lord for salvation, you need to be saved Right here today, you've got to make a decision. Jesus Christ proved that He loved you by dying upon Calvary, taking the punishment for your sin, and He calls to you today saying, come unto me. Now you've got to decide, will you respond to God's call? Perhaps you're here today and you've been one of the backsliders. You know, we've kind of fallen away. Things are not like they once was. I can offer you this. God hasn't changed. You have. It's time for you to come back. The glory of it is, it's like the story of the prodigal son. I love that story. I mean, that young man blew it. He just asked his father, give me my inheritance. I don't want you anymore kind of mentality. He runs off. He blows his inheritance, you know, winds up eating with the pigs. Then it says he come to himself. When he come to himself, he said, my father has servants treated better than this. I'm going to go back home to my father. And you know what his father did? When he saw him coming, his father ran to meet him. His father ran to meet him with open arms and embraced him. Listen, you may have fallen by the wayside today. You may have, but rest assured, whatever's drawn you away, your father's waiting with open arms saying, come back. I still love you. Come back to me. Will you respond to God's invitation? Maybe you're here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in baptism. Whatever the need, respond. Answer God's call. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the day. Thank you for this opportunity to look into your word and learn of you. And now, Lord, we come to the invitation. Let us be reminded that our relationship with you is based upon our response to you. And now today, Lord, I pray that you would move among us freely, that your will be done, your name praised by every decision made. And now, Lord, give us the courage to respond to your call. In Jesus' name, amen.